This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Youth violence tends to spike in the summer after schools let out. This year, Cincinnati leaders say they're working to prevent the problems before they start. Today, we're going to talk about the agencies and organizations coming together to give children and teens safe, free places to spend their time and opportunities to work. Joining me now are Cincinnati Police Chief Teresa Thiege. Welcome back, Chief Thiege.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director Daniel Betts. Thanks for being here, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
And Urban League of Southwestern Ohio Community Partnering and Youth Program Director Derek Rogers. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you all here. Chief, before we discuss these prevention efforts, I do need to ask you about this video that's been circulating on social media of several Cincinnati police officers arresting a man downtown. The video shows officers using a taser on the man, wrestling him onto a bus stop bench, an officer using pepper spray, another officer drawing a gun. The Holloman Center for Social Justice at the Urban League condemned the officer's actions on the video. I know it's under investigation. What, if anything, can you tell us about what happened and whether it conforms to CPD policy?
Yeah, so I can, at a very high level, I'm not going to get into the details because it is under investigation, but you know, the work that officers have to do every day sometimes is not pretty. We cannot judge their actions based on how it looks. So what we do is I've assigned it to the internal investigation section for a thorough review and a reporting of facts to me. Once that report is completed, then I'll make a determination if it was within policy and procedure or not.
That makes sense. And is there any reason under Cincinnati Police Department policy where an officer would possibly draw a gun or decide to draw a gun when it appears that others are not armed? Is that something that could be part of that kind of messy looking that you talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. It is dependent upon the officer's perception of the threat at that moment. What we don't want to get into is Monday morning quarterbacking without the facts. So it is up to their perception of the threat level at that time.
Okay. Well, and one more question that's kind of related to this. Preventing youth violence and crime relies to some degree on a relationship of trust between the community and officers. How or is your prevention work complicated by a situation like this that's swirling around on social media at the start of the summer?
Yeah. You know, sometimes we have setbacks when an incident occurs, but what we have to do is be very diligent to continue the conversations with our partners, to continue the efforts coming to the table, and just make everybody realize that our goal is greater than what one incident may reveal. So we just keep those conversations going.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's get into some of the specifics of this prevention work. Daniel, what's the Cincinnati Recreation Commission doing this summer to give kids and teens places to spend time and activities to really occupy their days?
Well, we're doing quite a bit. Some of it is stuff that we've been doing for the last decade, like opening our pools and making sure that every single pool is open. This is the first year outside of the pandemic that we were able to open all 24 pools. So we're extremely excited about that. Safe place for young people to, you know, be able to recreate in a, you know, safe environment. The other piece is we're doing summer day camps. We do those every year at all our centers. All 23 of our rec centers are offering summer day camps. And those camps stem from STEM camps to bike camps to just traditional camps. And basically we're, you know, meeting with and addressing the needs of school-age young people in those environments. We just launched this past weekend a specific program geared toward teens, Rec at Night. And so that program is in two of the nine neighborhoods that Cincinnati Police Department, and working with Chief Thiege and her team, have identified in having some level of higher tick of youth criminology and violence in those communities. So we selected two, one in the West End Lincoln Rec Center and the other in Avondale in Hirsch. And so we're programming at both of those sites, kicked it off this past Saturday, had over 200 kids. And so we, young people, I should say, these teens don't like you calling them kids, but young teens at each one of those sites. And so we'll continue that for the next 8 weeks. That program will go every Saturday from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. And we have partners. I want to thank and send out a shout out to my partners who I hope are listening. You know, and those partners range from Elements to Black Art Speaks to a number of the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club. These are all our partners. Police Department is also a partner to make it safe for the young people who are attending those programs. And then Brothers Inc. I mean, the list of partners go on. So if I forgot somebody, chalk it up to the heart, the head, not the heart. Sorry. But we're doing a lot in the summer, and the purpose of ramping up our programming for young people in the summer is so that they have a safe place to go.
Yeah. And so what, Daniel, is different about what the Recreation Commission is doing this summer than in years past? I know you mentioned all 24 pools being open, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. I know a lot of people are excited about that. Mm-hmm. Is this targeted approach that you mentioned working with the police department, is that different this year, that really looking at neighborhoods that couldn't use these later evening activities maybe more than others?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we again, there's nine neighborhoods. We selected two. I think the goal is going to be over time, obviously not this summer, but over time, as we see this program being successful and impacting young people and meeting them where they're at. Because one of the things that we're doing with Rec at Night is young people are able to get haircuts, they're able to get their nails done. So it's not just programming the young people in a more traditional way. The other thing that I think we're excited about with Rec at Night is that young people were a part of the planning. So they actually told us, you know, what are the things that they would like to see on a Saturday night between 3 and 11. And we're also providing transportation. So we're making sure that they get to us safely and that they leave from these sites safely. So again, I think those are some of just the high level things that we've done differently this summer. But again, our traditional things that we've done to address, you know, the elementary age kids who sometimes are not involved in criminology, but are friends of friends who are engaged in criminology and can be an innocent bystander and can be in the way. So we're providing safe places, not just for the young people who might be engaged in some level of criminology, but also the young people who aren't, but know those kids. And I think the exciting part for us, too, is that we're doing this from a collaborative approach. We're not doing this silo. We have many partners, many of which I've named, some that, you know, unfortunately, didn't name, but we'll list and make sure that you're able to share with the listening audience. The idea, though, is that we have caring adults in these places meeting the needs of these young people and meeting their needs where they're at with no judgment.
Yeah.
And just loving on them.
Makes a huge difference. Yeah. Derek, what's the Urban League doing to connect young people with summer job opportunities? That's another important piece of this puzzle, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. We're excited to have our youth through our Urban Champion program, that they're getting a work experience through several local businesses here in Cincinnati. It's for 10 weeks. And through that experience, we also have like workshops on Fridays that cover like advocacy work, workforce development, post-secondary education, and also mental health. Or we have actually professionals in mental health come in and actually work with the kids. And then that's all leading up to our youth summit, which will be on July 18th, which we give the youth opportunity to actually lead that and plan for that event. So we're definitely excited about that. And one of the other things that we're actually engaging, you know, in the summertime is that we're going to the communities with a snack and chat, to where we're actually going to these communities in these tough spots where we know kids play and there's high gun violence. And we're just setting up a tent and having snacks and then talking to the youth and the parents just about anything they want to talk about, just to try to gain some kind of trust within that community, just gain mentorship, be a mentor to some of the youth, and just be an everyday presence. So whatever they want to talk about, we can lead them to the right resources in order to get those resources.
Yeah. We're talking about efforts to prevent youth violence this summer before it starts. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Chief, this prevention work is a very concerted effort this year. This might sound like a dumb question, but what are some of the reasons youth violence tends to spike in the summertime?
Yeah, that's not a ridiculous question at all, because we see it every year. We gauge for that every year and prepare for it. I think a lot of it has to do with the youth end up with a lot of idle time on their hands. And then they get influenced by the wrong people. And to Derek's point, that's why it's critically important that we have the right people out there trying to influence them. And to Director Bett's point, it's why it's critically important that we have activity so they don't sit idle. That's when the kids usually get in trouble, when they don't have anything to do and they don't have anybody to point them on the right path. Mm-hmm.
And Derek, you mentioned these local companies that are helping with these jobs. Can you give some examples of the types of jobs that are available for young people and the kind of money they can make?
Yeah, well, everybody is at $13 an hour across the board. Some of the companies, one is Black-owned. They were able to take on three kids, and they'll be a part of their production team, so they get to learn from the A to Z how to develop a concept as far as, you know, clothing line. And then all the good works that they do, you know, how successful Black-owned has been, all the good work that they're were able to do, that they will translate that to the youth that are interested in that type of work. We have some restaurants. I'm sorry, I can't think of the one down. I know the location is downtown on Vine Street. That's what you get when you get in trouble for name dropping.
That's okay. That's okay. But it sounds like it's a variety of types of businesses.
Yeah, variety of type of businesses from restaurants to janitorial. We have a few at the Urban League that are working. You have just a plethora of work sites and opportunities that the kids are getting, and they're having fun doing it. So they're usually picked those work sites. We have some daycares too. That some of the youth are working at. So the great thing about this is they pick the opportunities that they want to, you know, the places that they want to work at, and they're getting something, they're getting a great learning experience, and it's maybe something that they want to do when they become adults.
Yeah. What about lifeguarding jobs, Daniel? Are those something that a lot of youth have been interested in? I know Cincinnati Recreation Commission has been very competitive with raising those wages and making sure kids get training.
Yeah, we're paying $16 an hour now for young people to become a lifeguard, and $12 to $13 an hour for young people who want to be in concessions or work on the deck. You know, as I was listening, the other piece that I think a lot of times people don't know about is that beyond lifeguards, we hire roughly about 250 lifeguards to open up all 24 of our locations. But what I think people don't realize is that we also, you know, hire a number of summer youth workers. We have a youth to work program, which the city manager and the mayor supports by way of funding. And we get funding from the federal government to hire young people across the city. So we have young people that work in police and fire. They're training to be cadets. And so we also do private sector, and we do nonprofit hires and placement as well. So we place roughly 430 young people in the summer months. So that's the other, I would say, great initiative in terms of our ability to keep young people engaged in the summer months.
Yeah. Well, we will continue this conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss how Cincinnati is opening all 24 of its public pools this summer and how challenging that is to make it happen. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about efforts in Cincinnati to prevent summer youth violence before it starts. My guests are Cincinnati Police Chief Teresa Thiege, Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director Daniel Betts, and Urban League of Southwestern Ohio Community Partnering and Youth Program Director Derek Rogers. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Derek, we were talking before the break about youth employment. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that piece of the puzzle. What kind of impact can employment have on teens and young adults, and what can that mean for the community as a whole?
Right. Well, it definitely have a positive impact. One is just the work experience overall, just the fact that you have to actually be at a place at a certain specific for a certain amount of hours and actually receive a paycheck. So it's getting youth to understand the importance of providing for their family early by gaining that work experience. And like I said, some the kids were able to pick the jobs that they wanted to participate in. And so maybe that may lead to them getting into that business or working for a place like that. And I think as they get that work experience, it's better off for the future of Cincinnati, because now you have youth, instead of turning to the streets and instead of going to prison or something like that, now they're able to either pursue a post-secondary education, whether it's a trade or college, or actually start become an entrepreneur and start their own business. So if any way, it's creating a better tax base for Cincinnati.
Nothing wrong with that. Chief, what do you think of these opportunities that, Cincinnati Recreation Commission is providing, these opportunities that the Urban League is working on? What kind of preventative potential do you see in, those efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. So programming from CRC, from the Urban League, and even our Cincinnati Parks, they have some camps going on for the youth in our community as well. All of those are opportunities for the youth to see that there is an opportunity, a life out there that doesn't need to include violence. It does not need to include a potential to end up in the juvenile justice system. So it's incumbent upon us as responsible adults to give them as many opportunities, put them all in front of them, and try to persuade them to take advantage of those. You know, and above and beyond what these gentlemen have spoken about, from the police department, we've got our city camp going. For the kids in trauma, we try to make sure that they realize there's opportunities. We have our cadet program. We have our police youth live-in, Camp Joy, again this summer. And so just many, many opportunities for the youth in the city of Cincinnati.
And Chief, I know we've talked about this before. Gun violence among young people is especially scary. Talk about the ways that Cincinnati Police Department has been really working to try to reduce that.
Yeah, so we've done it from a couple of different angles. One is the investigative bodies that we have out there. So our Crime Gun Intelligence Center, very data-driven, evidence-based policing. It's non-biased. They follow the evidence. They follow the facts for some of these cases, because unfortunately, sometimes we do have to arrest a youth for a gun violence offense, and we must do that when necessary. But some of the other things that we're doing is just trying to educate parents, safe gun storage. You know, some of our focus is on these cars that are getting broken into where firearms are being stolen. That's where the criminal element can get a lot of the firearms that they use. But the Safe Gun Storage Week, we kicked it off yesterday. So this whole week, we are asking individuals, businesses, organizations to simply take the pledge to safely store their firearm so that it doesn't get in the wrong hands, get used for wrong purposes, or accidental. We have oftentimes throughout the year, we'll have a few where very young individuals are harmed or killed by a firearm simply because it wasn't safely stored. And so this is a pledge, an opportunity for a pledge to just say, yeah, I, as a gun owner, I commit to safely storing my firearm. And so I asked everybody to go to the city's website and sign up for the pledge. Yeah.
So heartbreaking when those cases come up where little bitty kids
absolutely
play with a gun and end up hurt or killed. Daniel, I want to talk to you more about this. We were talking a little bit during the break about what a legacy Cincinnati Recreation Commission has with so many people who worked as lifeguards or in different positions over so many years. With that in mind, what kind of impact do these jobs that you all provide, do these activities you all provide have for the broader community? It sounds like it's not necessarily just about the kids who were involved in these things. There's a real ripple effect here and an effect down the road.
No, that's a huge ripple effect. I mean, a lot of the young people that we interact with, you know, obviously grew up to be adults. And some of these young people stay in our community and they end up working in various industries within the city. So that's a plus. That's a good thing for the city. The other thing I think that's important is that, and this goes a little off your question, but this village approach is extremely important, this collaborative approach. A lot of these young people that we're serving are coming out of conditions that have been highly traumatized, and they're coming out of environments where there's a lot of poverty. And so we end up being surrogate uncles and mothers and surrogate parents and surrogate aunties and grandmothers to a lot of these young youth who really just need some guided direction. And so I'm really appreciative of the collaborative approach that the city has taken, not only with city agencies, but with our outside external partners to meet and address the needs of these young people who are good young people, just need some direction and need caring adults to show up for them, because oftentimes that's not their reality either in their home and or in their community.
Well, and Derek, the Urban League is certainly one of those partners who's working hard on this. When you hear from the young people who come to the Urban League or taking advantage of these opportunities, you mentioned there's a youth summit coming up in July that will kind of be a culmination of sorts of all this. What do you see as the broader implications for our community as a whole? As the Urban League is having an impact on these individual lives, what do you think that means for our broader community?
Well, it definitely is a positive benefit, but I would like to say that, and Daniel hit on it in a nutshell, is the surrogacy part of being that person or that caregiver or that aunt, uncle, you know, whatever. It's consistency in building the relationships. When they first walked in the Urban League doors and they may not have known who we were, then over the weeks they begin to know who we were or who we are. And I think that's the condition that will allow us to make a change for our youth in this city, is that we have to show up for them at every turn and we have to be consistently there at every turn. And so we've had an opportunity, like I said, we got 10 weeks of this. So we have an opportunity to build that relationship that not only just lasts for these 10 weeks, but it'll go on through the school year. And, you know, next summer and the summers after that, we have a lot of kids that have been in our program that have come back and wanted to participate and want to help out with Youth Summit. And that's what it's all about. It's about building those relationships and being consistent every day, you know, in these youth life.
Chief, you were talking about the different programs that Cincinnati Police Department has with cadets and Camp Joy and all these different things you all are doing. But even for young people who aren't involved in those programs, I would imagine your officers are trying to develop relationships in neighborhoods. You mentioned during the break that you went to Rec at Night at one of the centers over the weekend. I don't know if you were in uniform or you were in there in plain clothes, but talk about how the police work to develop those relationships so that, you know, there is some trust there and the kids aren't just seeing a police officer if they get in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of formal programming, but I do want to recognize, too, we have a lot of officers who do informal programming, such as reading at schools or playing in a basketball game with the kids. So that is phenomenal work by them. But the rec center, like you said, I was at the Lincoln Rec Center and the Hearst Rec Center on Saturday evening. And when we have these activities for the kids, one of the groups of officers that we rely heavily on is our school resource officers, because they know a lot of these kids from the schools. They've interacted with them throughout the school year. And now that the summer's here, it's another opportunity for them to keep that connection, to keep those conversations and that rapport. But we have neighborhood officers, beat officers. We have so many that do a lot of things for the youth in this city that I'm just very, very proud of when they want to make those connections with the youth.
Yeah. Daniel, how are you going to gauge the success of this summer's programs? I mean, it sounds like, I know Cincinnati Recreation Commission, all of you work every summer on these, but it sounds like this summer there is in some ways a more concerted effort to really come together, really address this. How are you going to measure success?
Well, I think we're going to look at it a couple of different ways. Initially, you know, we're going to look at it obviously by attendance and the young people who show up and have some fun with us. But outside of that, I think we'll get more intentional and strategic in working with the chief and the city in terms of looking at those nine neighborhoods and seeing who's coming out of those nine neighborhoods. And in fact, if whether or not what we're doing in two of the nine has made a difference. So that will be, I think, the ultimate test. But initially for us, it's really just to get the young people out. And I just want to real quickly give a shout out to the chief and the SROs, because we love the SROs and CRC, because one of the standing programs we have is SWISH. And this is a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that we actually focus on the kids who are embracing some level of criminology, and we bring them in rec centers, their teens, and the police department, fire department are the coaches. So this gives these young people who see these officers on the street, maybe not, you know, when you see an officer outside, you know, doing something that you shouldn't be doing, you're not necessarily embracing that officer, okay? But in the SWISH program, you get an opportunity to embrace that officer at a different level. They become human beings, not just somebody with a badge and a gun.
Yeah. Derek, how are you all looking to measure success at the Urban League?
One, completion of the program. And two, we at the end of the program, we have like an overlook with the youth, and they actually come up with the plan as far as what they have gained through the 10 weeks. And then so each, because each person is different. And so you'll measure the person by what they have accomplished, what they deem that they have accomplished. And so we'll get opportunity at the end of the 10 weeks to look at that. But the first one is definitely the completion rate. And then from there, the overlook for the from the youth and within themselves.
And Chief, just real quick, I mean, I know the goal is to prevent violence before it starts, and you are looking at data all the time. What are you looking at as kind of a measure of success for this?
Yes, so absolutely the data. You know, is our youth gun violence and youth violence in general going down as a result of these programs? But I think what another significant thing that I'd like to look at is the connection that the officers are making with the youth, the rapports that they're building, and do those continue when the programs are finished for the summer?
Yeah. Well, this has been terrific. I've been talking with, I've lost my place. I've been talking with Cincinnati Police Chief Teresa Thiege, Cincinnati Recreation Commissioner Director Daniel Betts, and Urban League of Southwestern Ohio Community Partnering and Youth Program Director Derek Rogers. Thank you all so much for your time today. You've been terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, we will talk about how Cincinnati is opening all 24 of its public pools this summer and how challenging that can be. This is Cincinnati Edition.